Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A member of President Trump's cabinet was in Iowa to campaign for the president. Let's go in-depth with Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. Secretary Perdue, what are you doing in Iowa?
Well, I'm here, obviously, as an American citizen, not as Secretary of Agriculture, although I've been to Iowa many times as Secretary of Agriculture, but I'm coming here today because, as an American, I want people to be elected who will continue to propagate the values that made America. That's Donald Trump and Joni Ernst and Don Young and these other members of Congress running for Congress.
How do you think it's going so far in your term as Secretary of Agriculture? What have President Trump's efforts done to help the American people during this difficult time?
I've never seen a president more really involved, engaged, or concerned about rural America. Obviously, that's been important to me in our constituency, but what he's done for farmers, you've heard the agriculture more out of the Oval Office in this 3.5 years than you've ever heard before in my lifetime that way. And he genuinely has a true admiration, affection for farmers that I think he believes they embody the American spirit that built this country. And he's demonstrated that. Obviously, Iowa here, ethanol is pretty important. He's fulfilled every promise regarding ethanol, E15 year-round, the pumps, and now the higher blend infrastructure project, those kind of things, as well as doing away with the small refinery waivers.
My understanding was all the small refinery waivers aren't done away with. Am I incorrect?
Well, actually, there will be. Based on the 10th Circuit decision, what he said is to administer the 10th Circuit decision nationwide. That's probably going to leave less than a handful of legitimate ones that comply with that extension of the way the law and the court case said. If they're extended, they're probably going to be less than three or four that qualify, and people understand that. That's just what the law said, and that's what the 10th Circuit said we should comply with. But these gap waivers and all that, he has done away with that.
And so we can anticipate the ethanol plants that closed and those jobs that went away, they're going to be coming back?
Again, that depends on the economy generally. Obviously, we see more traffic on the road now. You people have to drive in order to use petroleum in order to blend ethanol. So that's where we saw back in the spring when everything shut down, then people, cars weren't driving, and petroleum, gasoline wasn't being used, so we couldn't blend that. We do expect those jobs to come back as the economy recovers, as hopefully we get vaccines soon and the people feel confident. But as I'm on the road around America today, I see a lot more cars on the road than certainly we did back early summer.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. Well, and I presume you're talking to Iowans. What are they telling you?
Iowan farmers are very satisfied. We're seeing soybeans at 1085. We hadn't seen those numbers in a long time. We're seeing corn at $4.18, wheat at over $6. These I think, are indications that the president's trade policies are working. Many people had tried to question that early on, but I think they're working, and he's gotten China's attention in that regard. Actually, when we look at the numbers, farm income, I know some people have been talking about the highest farm income. It peaked in 13 and went down every year after that, and bottomed in 16. Since 16, it's been up in 17, 18, 19, and 20. And those are the facts there. People can check those out. But the farmer, while President Trump took on China, he also supported the farmers with MFP payments for those that have been retaliated against. as well as coronavirus payments.
My understanding is 40% of farm income is from government payments. That's difficult. Well, it's difficult for the farmers that I talk to that want trade, not aid.
Sure. There's not an honest farm in America that would not have trade and aid. That's what's happening right now. You're getting prices that are profitable for farmers now, and that's the result of the trade policies that President Trump has had. I think 40% is too high. What the numbers we've seen from the Economic Research Service is that less than 40%, and even farm income without government transfer payment had been higher each year after it bottomed in 2016 at the end of the President Obama's administration.
So what's the current status of our trade with China?
Once again, I want to reiterate that I'm here as an American citizen, not as Secretary of Agriculture, and I want to be sure we get that clear on your program. But the state of trade is increasing. It got off to a slow start. We've had a global pandemic, obviously with demand down everywhere, but we've seen over the last 2 or 3 months been increasing. We have record beef, record corn exports there, and the one area where we're still working on is ethanol use. They committed to buy energy, and we're hoping that they will, but they've not started yet. But soybeans and corn, pork, your record highs, and beef are all doing well.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. One of the more visible programs that President Trump implemented was the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, and that's coming out part two. Now it's like $7 billion, correct?
That's right.
And so it's programs that it's delivering food to food banks. And my question is, why not just expand SNAP payments rather than send the money or send the food to food banks that aren't prepared for that when our grocery stores are already up and ready, have the delivery mechanisms? Why not just expand SNAP payments? And also, what are the costs of the infrastructure that the Department USDA had to put together to purchase, deliver, get all of that food to our food banks? I'm really curious about this program.
Well, your curiosity is amazing to me because you're one of the first ones I've ever seen that haven't given public accolades to our Farmers to Family Food Box, which has been acclaimed all over the country from food banks to other anti-hunger advocates everywhere. It was an amazing program. It was not just food for people, but if you recall, when we were plowing under produce, when we were dumping milk, when we were potentially euthanizing animals, it's a win-win-win program. We took those commodities that were being destroyed on the farmers, we put the distribution network back to work with distributing that out to the people in need. That was the best thing. It's been a win-win-win program, and I'm really fascinated that you're as a skeptic that would not believe how good that program has worked.
No, I'm not a skeptic of it. It seems to be a very popular program. I just don't understand why I'm sorry?
I said, indeed, it's been a very popular program from those who needed it to those who produced it and those who distributed it.
I just don't understand why we just didn't expand SNAP payments, and why are our food banks competing with our grocery stores, and what did the infrastructure cost to create that parallel system?
Well, SNAP program was in effect. They were getting SNAP payments. In fact, they were getting expanded maximum SNAP payments, if you recall. That's part of the CARES Act. They were getting the maximum a family was allowed. And then in addition to that, they got the Farmers to Family Food Box. They got school nutrition food as well. So I would have to say it's been an overwhelming success.
All right, and the expansion of SNAP wouldn't have been sufficient?
Absolutely. You're not going to keep produce from being plowed under because it's a food chain distribution system that had to work at all three levels, the production level and then the distribution level and the delivery level. regarding competition. Grocery stores sales have been up 50% or more. I don't hear grocery stores complaining about competition from Farmers and Family Food Box. I think they're just happy to have the help and have people get fed.
Right. Okay. Well, I've addressed this enough. I'm sure you want to move on to other things. What are the most important messages that you want to get across to the American people or to Iowans?
I think the most important message is when they go to the ballot box, either have already, then you've got a contrast like I've never seen before. All you have to do is to read the platforms of these two parties and make your decision about what kind of America do you want going forward. Many people want to make this about personalities, what the president says or how he says it and that kind of thing. This is about the delivery of promises made and promises kept of the policies. One of the best economic recoveries we've ever seen in America prior to the COVID pandemic in that regard. Lower unemployment for African Americans, for Hispanics and women, and better prosperity, better jobs, better pay, those kind of things. Do you want a safe America, or do you want the riots to come to your neighborhood? That's the contrast we see, and that's the message out here. When people get in that ballot box, that's what they're going to think about. Do I have a good job? Do I have an opportunity for the American dream through prosperity rather than government payments? Or do I have safe neighborhoods and safe schools for my kids to go to?
So you think if Joe Biden is elected, there'll be riots in our neighborhoods, our small Iowa towns?
That wasn't me that said that. If you go back and look at what Kamala Harris has said, his vice presidential candidate, she says these disturbances are not going to quit. They're going to go on. I don't know what she means by that. I'm not quoting that, but I'm telling you what the Democratic Party has suggested as far as their tools of change is riots. They've embraced them. They said, yes, we need to break stuff in order to get what we want. That's exactly what they said. And if you need quotes, I can send them to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't remember her saying that, but I don't listen to everything that she has to say.
Neither do I.
Anything else that you want to get across to our listeners?
No, I think, again, this America's at a crossroads. They're not really at a fork in the road. They're at a T. You can either go left to socialism or you can go right to American prosperity. I think that's absolutely the choice that we see going forward here. I think your listeners get that maybe more than other people. And I've got confidence in the ballot box. I think Americans, based on the enthusiasm I see across America, are going to go and make the choice for the America they want of liberty and freedom.
Do you really think Joe Biden's a socialist?
I did not say that. You're putting words in my mouth. I said if you read the Democratic platform embracing socialistic ideas, you can see it very clearly. That's not what I said or what I believe. It's what they say.
What are those socialist policies?
I don't think we have time in that. Your listeners are smart enough to look at the platforms and understand that. It's so many things. It's really, by their own mouth, really espousing socialist principles. You look at AOC and the Squad and Kamala Harris and others indicating that.
So have you enjoyed your time in the Trump administration?
Actually, I'm here as a private citizen of America. I've enjoyed the prosperity that Americans had under the Trump administration for sure.
Well, I was speaking with some people this morning, and they were curious, and maybe you can't answer this, and I understand that, but they were curious if you were going to stay for a second term, hopefully, and if Trump is reelected.
Yeah, that's probably something that a citizen of America couldn't answer right now.
I really appreciate that you've answered some agricultural questions.
Sure.
And I guess you mean something as Secretary of Agriculture. And so, I mean, so that's what people are interested in hearing. They're not as interested in hearing from any other administration official as an individual citizen. So can you tell us why you're doing that?
Why I'm doing what?
Well, why you want to stress that you're just an independent citizen today.
You're familiar with the Hatch Act, are you not?
Yeah, I am, but it doesn't. I think that you speaking about the Hatch Act and that you don't want to violate that, I think that's admirable. It's not every.
Well, that's what. That's what I'm trying to do. The Hatch Act says that I cannot represent my official capacity in these efforts when I'm coming out purely for political purposes, and I'm trying to do my best to abide by that. I hope your listeners respect that in that regard, and that's what I'm trying to do in order to say this is Sonny Perdue, a citizen, former governor of Georgia, here in Iowa, talking about the importance of voting for President Trump, Senator Ernst, and these congressional candidates for a better America.
Well, and I understand and I appreciate it. And I know you're busy. I very much appreciate your time, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Well, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Thanks to Sonny Perdue for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.